What I learned at UC Davis from The Battle for Wine and Love, or How I Saved the World from Parkerization by Alice Firing. Back in the old carefree days, I found myself in a state of near undress with a man I found adorable. He rode a motorcycle, sang medieval music, had a jester's costume, and danced in the street when he wasn't at his more manicured job as a computer geek. Shortly into our session, he barked out a list of instructions. To the left, up, harder, to the right, there, turn, 46 degrees, softer, back up, no, you don't have it. I felt that I was engaged in a driver's education class instead of foreplay. All of a sudden, I wasn't in the mood. I recalled this episode during my conversations with Clark Smith and other winemakers who were obsessed with control. I certainly thought about it again when I visited a town and wine region up the central coast of California called Paso Robles. This is an up-and-coming wine region located halfway between Los Angeles and San Francisco, and while known for ancient Zinfandel vines, it had made a name for itself in the Rhone grape variety named Syrah. When I arrived in town, it was buzzing with excitement. Robert M. Parker Jr. had just been there, and word on the street was that Parker went home a Paso fan. I was curious to see what the critic liked. In the rising heat of the late afternoon, I stepped out of my rental and into the Robert Hall Winery car park, hot enough to sear a tuna. Eager to get inside to the air-conditioned appointment, I still had misgivings. Through a quick internet search, I had learned that there was a real man named Robert Hall who had retired to winemaking after a career in real estate development that had been jump-started with his building several bowling centers. His new winery was a state-of-the-art affair with over 19,000 square feet of recently fabricated underground caves. According to the Hall website, the winery's goal in crafting its wine was to capture the exceptional color and flavor that is the essence of Paso Robles. The winery write-up, posted on the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance website, alerted me that this was probably not an Alice Firing approved winery. I learned that the winemaker, Texas-born and educated Donald Brady, helped to put Texas wine on the map. He had worked the mega commercial Delicata and spoken of as a respected member of the wine community. The website said his goal was to capture the essence of a vineyard as well as to enhance the quality of wine by getting the best product possible out of each vine. Robert Parker, meanwhile, had been impressed, and he told his readers to rush right out and buy the Robert Hall Syrahs because they were bargains. Plenty of the people at the gift shop were doing just that. Something told me I was about to spend time at the kind of winery I avoid. It's not that great wine can't be made in a modern facility where the winemaker isn't the owner. It's just that great wines rarely emerge from the situation. And when I noticed a pack of people from Gallo's Rancho Zabaca Grande, I suspected the wines would be a disaster. And when I saw a happy shopper with a sideways baseball cap, I knew it without a doubt. Yet, my host Don Brady was open, generous kind of man. I wanted to feel the same thing towards his wine, and as we headed down to the cool, cool winery to taste, on the way he told me how lucky he was because he got to work with such beautiful grapes. Ever since I had eaten from Big Joe's Tree of Knowledge and embraced the wine skeptic within, I never believed a word winemakers told me unless I was able to taste and size up for myself whether the wine was made with indigenous yeast or anything else. For confirmation of my suspicions, I would then innocently say, "Wow, that's something. What strain of yeast do you use?" I grilled winemakers about everything else as well. The tasting ritual in Paso Robles began with a sip and a spit. My brain flashed to another item posted on the website. Today, Robert Hall Winery is the result of old-fashioned work ethic combined with traditional winemaking techniques and new state-of-the-art equipment. Yet I felt as if I was being poisoned. Something was grabbing me at the back of my throat. Bad acid adjustment, pencil-like tannins, highly unnatural tasting choked me. The wine tampering was so obvious that I wanted to engage Don in a conversation about what he meant by traditional techniques. Crushing grapes?